I'm Coleman Taylor with you here from K-Country 95, and we've got a special guest in the studio today. Carla Esslinger, who is a member of the Missouri State Senate, is with us. Carla, it's great to have you in.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity to visit. It's been a while since I've had a chance to say hello to this way, I guess, and just love the opportunity.
Well, it's good to have you in, and this is something we plan to try to start doing on a pretty regular basis, is talk to Carla a little bit. I mean, Carla, tell us about, for folks that aren't terribly familiar, there are some people that sadly don't pay that close attention to their representatives like they should. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what got you running for office.
Well, some people refer to me as the school lady. I've taught school for many years, was a principal, superintendent of schools, stayed in education for about 30 some odd years. Worked at the state level, assistant commissioner, and then I went on to D.C. for actually a few years with the U.S. Department of Ed. I came home, and a great friend of mine who had also had a background of school, he said, Carter, we really need you to run. Mm-hmm. And I gave him my word that it was my time, that I would do it. So I ran for the House about 4 years ago and won. And so I served in the 155th district for a couple of years. And then I had some folks again come to me and say, we sure would like for you to run for office, and would love for you to serve as our senator. And so I did that, and so 2 years later, here I am. And I've got two more years for this this term, and then I run again in 24. Just to describe me, I lived on a farm with my husband for 42 years. We have two really pretty girls mm-hmm. that we raised, and they have given us three grandbabies. They're also in the school business, but my work in Jeff City really has more to do with economic development and workforce needs, things that I know that our district really could benefit from.
Well, I mean, going from education to kind of shifting that focus a little bit, was that a difficult transition, I mean, to be so focused in education and then see the needs of the economy?
When I first came up there, I thought I was, pretty knowledgeable and lived a long life and loved to learn. So I thought, I've got my ideas of what this is going to be about, but my goodness gracious. When you get up there, you find out that you've got to know a whole lot about a lot of things. And what you also learn is that you can rely on people whose wheelhouse is specifically that area. Mm-hmm. Let's say it's in commerce, or it's in broadband, or it's in banking, or it's in other kinds of things across our state. So you rely on those people who have had the 25 or 30 years in those professions to help guide and give background when you need it. But what I learned is that there are so many things that we get to have an opportunity to work with, whether that's transportation issues down here, or somebody isn't able to pick up pay their property tax or whatever mm-hmm. it is, just something the constituents need. Sometimes it's very simple. It's things that you can just walk over to whatever department it has to do with and say, hey, I've got a constituent down in the southern part of the state that really needs some help, and we're able to do that. And I appreciate those kinds of things that I can be of service to my constituents for.
I know that, the redistricting, what, year or two ago now, changed things a lot. I mean, how did that change this Senate district?
It did. I actually started off with 8 counties across the bottom portion of our state. And then after redistricting, I lost Webster, and I lost Wright, and I lost Ripley. But I picked up Shannon County, and I also picked up Stone County and Taney. So I have 7 counties, but I think geographically it's about the same. It's about, I think, 175,000 people that I represent.
Tell me about, talk about economy. That's a pretty wide array. You've got a lot of agriculture. You've got, of course, a lot of entertainment over towards mm-hmm. the Branson area. That's a kind of a diverse thing. What are some of the biggest needs that you're seeing? Yeah.
Well, it depends. I used to say when I was a representative that I represented Taney County, and of course, what they immediately thought was, Branson, but I said I represented from Forsyth East, so I had the cow side of Taney County. So, but what I love to do is that, yes, I get to represent folks who are very interested in tourism, and that's that portion in Branson, mm-hmm. as well as Echo Bluff or any of our state mm-hmm. parks or any of those things around here. And then I also get to represent folks that have a great investment and do a great service to our economy through agriculture. We are known for our cattle. Some dairy. We even grow some soybeans in the 33rd district.
Really?
I was amazed. Somewhere over in Stone County, so that was a new thing for me. And some in Taney, I think. Of course, every once in a while you see a goat or some sheep, but mainly cattle. And have really built a great relationship with the cattle industry.
Yeah.
And will always be a champion for those who provide those chances for jobs, right? We've all got to be able to make a living down here. And my goal when I actually ran for office, one of the main things is that I just wanted to make sure that my grandkids had a good place to work, mm-hmm. you know? So that's my service, my giving back to this community who truly, as growing up and just through the years with my young family and now David and I being kind of gray-haired and a little bit older, our communities have been just so important to us. And that's my whole thing is just giving back.
Yeah. Whenever you went into office, you were, I guess, right before COVID broke out, uh-huh. right? Being 4 years ago. So you saw the whole transition there. I know that stifled a lot of things that, you know, just changed the world. Kind of getting past that now, what are some things that you're hoping to see really make some progression that you couldn't do during the pandemic?
Well, during the pandemic, it was difficult just to be able to get people together to have a conversation about what's best. So we were hesitant in addressing some of the like big issues because you just couldn't get people together. They were, a little hesitant. As far as the things that we're able to address now that we couldn't during the COVID years, I don't really know the answer to that, except there are a few things that are kind of lingering mm-hmm. and that we learned through COVID. One is that people have the right to do what they want to do. And probably government shouldn't be telling you where you can or can't do certain things.
Yeah.
There's been some oversteps, particularly in our urban centers. Now, I know down here, and we had a governor that was just, we're open for business. We're not shutting Missouri down. And in my district, we had school. Mm-hmm. Kids went to school. They had an option to stay home if they wanted to. Businesses were open. We were operating. But that wasn't the case in the urban centers.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've learned through that, and actually in one of my committees that I chair, there's some legislation that we'll be executing out actually when I go back to work on Monday, and that is about the health department and what they can and can't do as far as shutting businesses down in an urban center.
Yeah.
It just puts a little bit more onus on the ones who are elected, like your city council, your county officials, things like that, so that there is just a little bit more accountability for decisions made that affect people's lives.
You feel like that a lot of those decisions, I mean, they were taken out of local control, especially when it comes to schools. I mean, school boards really didn't have hardly any say in a lot of those things in some of those places that you're talking about.
Right.
How important is it to you to see local control in the school boards, the city councils, the counties, and all of that?
Oh, absolutely. And actually, it's funny you bring that up because I'm known up there as the person that constantly reminds people that we are up here to reduce state government. We're up here to reduce overreach. We want to make sure that the people who are electing their local officials, sheriff, city officials, county officials, school boards, they know what is good for the people they serve.
Mm-hmm.
And we should not be telling people overall what a cookie cutter piece of thing looks like that everybody ought to abide by. So every time when something comes up, I'll say, you know, I don't believe that is supporting local control.
Yeah.
And you know what's funny is people say, most people will say, I support local control unless it's something that I don't like.
That's right. That's always the kicker, isn't it?
And then I'm ready to get a big state law and make everybody stop doing whatever it was. So, local control is very important to me.
Yeah.
And even with all, like, when we talk about schools shutting down or, like, that critical race theory stuff mm-hmm. or whatever else is out there, those people that are on a local school board should be the ones who define what's good for kids because they see them every day. They're related to probably half of them. And, you know, that's their community. They're going to want what's best for their community.
Speaking of that, I know some of those preventative things that we see some bills going through different state legislatures, like the issues of transgender athletes and the critical race theory, things that really haven't had major effect on our school systems here in our local area yet.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of legislatures have gone ahead and taken big steps to prevent that from happening. How important do you think that is to go ahead and just take that step before it ever gets here?
Sure. And, you know, the things that are within those two pieces that you talked about, specifically, critical race theory, there should be transparency and you should be aware of what's going on and what you're teaching your kids and what the values are there. We got to make sure that we're always teaching information and facts and not doctrine. And I think that's where it becomes that kind of weird thing is when you're teaching kids to believe the way you do.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to be very careful about that. That's the parent's job. That's your church. That's those things. It's not a teacher to tell, to try to do that. And I can tell you that in my district, I didn't have phone calls that were telling me this is bad or that's going on. And if it did happen, it was addressed immediately. But I just know that we do seem to be more responsive to concerns like that at the local level. But I see where there are some places across our nation that it wasn't that way. So, yes, we passed some pretty significant legislation. Mm-hmm. It was called the Transparency Act or the Safe Schools Act. Or, mm-hmm. I'm not sure exactly what the name of it was, but I worked directly with the sponsor to make sure that it wasn't too onerous or too heavy of a lift for districts to be able to do, but it did provide that opportunity to say this is good practice, and that good practice is to make sure that there's a way to stop something that is not of what you value with your school boards, and also it's a way to be transparent as to what's happening in classrooms. And I always encourage parents, it's your job to know what's going on, and if you don't like something, be sure you get engaged and you have a conversation. It's easy to sit back and criticize. Mm-hmm. You've got to be part of the solution.
Yeah. Well, that's important in government, too, to be a part of the government that's going on as well. I was reading that, during coming out of redistricting and all of that, the Senate didn't get a whole lot done in the last session. No. It's really picked up this time. Tell me about some 30 bills that have already been passed out of the Senate this year.
Absolutely. You know, last year, I think the word was shambles. Our Senate was in shambles. I mean, we would even have just something silly, you know, like trying to make a motion to pass the journal, which is just basically the minutes that happened the day before. And then somebody would just, you know, decide that was the time they wanted to prolificate on something, right? And just go on and on because they weren't happy about some particular aspect, mainly redistricting. And that redistricting last year really caused people to shift their ideas of good based on what their next maybe a race was going to be. Like so many people were looking at their next election and, mm-hmm. and also looking to see what that district is going to look like and what opportunity they would have where they live for their next election. And I can tell you it really wreaked havoc. It was not pretty. We got some things done. I can't say we didn't get anything done, but boy, this year we have turned on the let's go. So I think we ended up I can't think of it exactly, but I think we only had maybe six or seven bills at this time last year. I think we're up to about 30 or so that we've passed this year. So we had a lot of stuff kind of waiting in the hopper, ready to roll. We just get people to sit down and let us do some work. So we're doing that now.
Well, some of the things that I see here, you know, we mentioned briefly, you know, the transgender athletes, men and women's sports, as well as transgender treatments, hormone treatments and surgeries mm-hmm. on minors. I mean, that's become a big state issue.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Across the country. What's Missouri doing there?
What Missouri is doing is, our attorney general, Mr. Andrew Bailey, he is doing an investigation actually on a university up there in St. Louis, WashU, that has had a whistleblower just come out and really shine some light on some very horrific things that are happening with children. And I want to emphasize the fact that these are children. And I have worked with kids for years and years and years. And it just makes my heart hurt when I hear about the things that are occurring. And I also think that it is something we've got to address with parents. Because for some reason, some parents think this is okay to mm-hmm. To be having those conversations about, do you want to be a girl or do you feel like you're a boy? I'm not talking about people who have issues that are adults. That's a whole different deal. But this is children. And as a state, we are definitely working very hard to put a stop to those horrendous things that are happening with drugs and with surgical procedures mm-hmm. on minors.
You know, in Arkansas, having lived in Arkansas, I watched this happen where the legislature put in an immediate ban on all of that. Even ongoing treatments were stopped, mm-hmm. and then that went through the courts, and that eventually got blocked because of the damage they were afraid it would do to those that were in the middle of treatments.
Sure.
In Missouri, I mean, have those conversations been having? What do you do with those that are already started?
Well, we haven't approached that yet as far as what we're doing with already started, but we are learning from other states who have kind of gone down this path
mm-hmm.
And trying to learn from their success and from their mistakes. I do think that you always got to make sure that you keep the best interest of the child and the future of that child in your perspective as to what kind of decision you're going to make.
Mm-hmm.
My thing is that we just have to stop with just this practice of these hormones being given, with the surgical procedures being given, and even what they call where they have blockers, where you were not able to go through puberty.
Yeah, puberty blockers.
Puberty blockers. So, you know, we're going to learn a lot about it. And, of course, we had that when we just came out of a session, because, of course, you know, we're on spring break right now.
Yeah.
When we come back, I'm sure that we're going to address it right when we first start. I can assure you that by the end of session, this will definitely be taken care of, because I don't know of anybody up there who thinks this is a good idea.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it seems like it's strange, you know, how clear-cut that is in Missouri. Other states, that there's big difference of opinion on some of those things.
Sure, you know? And I think the really differential piece there is minors, children. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even though there may be parental consent around that, what we heard from the whistleblower out of WashU was that wasn't handled, according to her, was not handled to where even the parents were as informed as they probably should have been.
Yeah.
So there's just a real lack of a future. And there were people that came back and even said, I can't have children now because of something I did when I was 14 years old. Yeah. And I shouldn't have been doing those things. I wasn't in my right mind, and I wasn't making decisions that should have impacted me for the rest of my life. So there's a lot of information as to why it's wrong. And I know that our legislators right now will definitely take care of that in Missouri.
You have any idea of a timeline of when we might know something more about that investigation going on in St. Louis?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that, because I actually chair the committee in which the investigation is going to be sent to. I mean, when they come out with all the findings and all the recommendations, that will be reviewed by my committee, which is government accountability, that I currently chair. So I'm looking forward to quickly move through and make sure that whatever's there is. And I know that our current attorney general will do a good job. And I look forward to addressing it and getting something done through that committee. Yes.
Yeah. We'll kind of have to wait and see, I guess, for exactly when that's going to happen.
We will, because I don't know, you know, I am in contact with them, but it's an investigation. And as you know, sometimes those things take a little time.
Yeah.
But a lot of that investigation, I think, really has more to do with not just the idea of whether it's right or wrong, but there are some things that are apparent around fraud and Medicaid and some of those things that are coming out that I think will be addressed through that investigation.
Those are all huge topics too.
They are.
They are big topics. I want to mention a couple of other bills that I see here coming out of the Senate. Direct access to physical therapy. Tell me about what that is, why that's important.
Well, it's important to me. It's something that was brought to my attention that, you know, if you are a volleyball player, let's say down here in West Plains, and you sprain your ankle or something, and you want to go to a physical therapist for treatment, you can't just directly go there. You have to go to your local doctor, your family doctor, whoever you go to, maybe even a clinic, and get a script that says, we prescribe so many treatments for you to have physical therapy. So, and it's not just an insurance thing. You actually have to have permission almost to be able to be seen by a physical therapist. And it just seemed to me that that was kind of taking away the consumer's opportunity to decide. You know, physical therapists are trained, they're doctors, they're a doctor in their profession. And so it was actually my bill. It was the first bill that was passed out of the Senate this year. And it is the opportunity for people who want to seek the treatment of a physical therapist can do that for 10 visits. And then there's a conversation with the doctor as to what else needs to be done. I'm not, during that whole conversation, it kept coming up that I'm trying to minimize the importance of our physicians and our doctors, and that is no, absolutely not. I think the best treatment that we have for whatever it is that ails us is when a team of people come together and look at the whole, and they all have a role. They all have an opportunity to do their part or to truly come together and do almost a systemic review of what's going on with that body so that they can help you to their highest potential.
When you mentioned about not just about insurance, but what about insurance and paying for that physical therapy? Those 10 visits, are you looking at how to make sure insurance companies will cover those?
Right. Actually, the it depends on your insurance coverage and the actual clinic and therapy itself as to what contracts they have. So I can't answer that question directly, but I can tell you that the first door is to, can you go there without getting a doctor's script first?
Right.
So, you know, sometimes I don't know exactly if it's all over, but I know when I go to a doctor, it could be almost $100 just for a visit. And sometimes a lot of families don't have that.
So. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, you mentioned that you're the chair of the government accountability, vice chair of economic development and tax policy, and then on many other committee assignments. Can you take us through kind of some of the big responsibilities you've got in the Senate?
Well, I do, of course, chair government accountability, which is also reviews licensure, which is why the physical therapy piece came in. So professional mm-hmm. licensure, certification. Just trying to make sure that we don't put too many hoops in the way of people trying to get a job, but we also have to maintain a standard of safety and excellence of service. So there's a balance there where it's not where you come from maybe another state and you've done that job for 50 years or 20 years, let's say, and you want to continue. Sometimes our requirements are you go back to school for 2 years. Well, those are the kinds of things we're trying to clean up.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they can pass the skills and what we consider to be a good job in Missouri, they ought to be able to go straight to work.
Right.
So there, that's part of the accountability piece. Vice chair of economic development tax policy. And basically, I handle all those tax bills. And when I say our committee does.
Yeah.
And the tax bills this year have been a lot to do with personal property tax reduction, a real estate property tax reduction, doing away with corporate tax. So, you know, it's the best of both worlds. I can look at all kinds of things we could do that would put a smile on people's faces. But you also have to remember, what support services are we receiving mm-hmm. because of those tax dollars going into our local government? So it's a balance again, but it's just a great place to be to make sure that we are trying to relieve the tax burden on our people to the highest degree possible.
Well, yeah. If folks have any questions or issues of their concern, they want to reach out to you about, what's the best way for them to do that?
Well, you know, just call our office, and I don't have my... you'd think I would memorize my office number, but I don't have it. But, you know, you can just Google Carla Esslinger, Senate, Missouri, and everything will show up.
Yeah.
There's a website there. You can ask a question on the website. You can go directly call my office, and we always return our phone calls. Or just text me or send me an email and ask if you want to have a conversation. I'll be glad to pick up the phone and have a visit about whatever it is that you'd like to tell me.
Well, Carla, we appreciate you so much for being here today, and hope you're enjoying spring break.
I am, yeah. It's been great. I've been out and about all week, and, you know, I just wish the weather was a little bit more cooperative.
Yeah, right.
You know, I've kind of planned on putting in some more of my garden, but all I got in was the onions, so. Been a little wet and cold.
It has been. Yeah. Well, I know you've got a busy week when you get back next week, and like I said, we're going to try to make this about a weekly thing, at least to get some little updates on what's going on during this legislative session. And I appreciate you being here today. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
Carla Esslinger, Missouri State Senator.